You know, today is the 1st of December, and had the privilege of farewelling Lucy yet just Friday, and sitting in St. James Anglican Church, and I saw up on the kind of, on the wall, just something very, very kind of low-key that said Advent, and I thought, Advent. And, you know, in my kind of church space, Advent is not something I've always kind of thought about and connected to. But did you know today is Advent Sunday? 1st of December. We'll have screen one. So I want to just acknowledge Tim's help today. Thanks, Tim. And to all of you who serve. But Tim's an awesome man of God. So it's Advent Sunday. And my kind of theme today is around Advent, and we're going to build on that, and we're going to consider what that word would say to everyone in the room. You ready? Okay. So, Advent. I was chatting to Drew recently, found out that he and I have done this in a different year, but we've done the same subject called intercultural communication. So that's Drew sitting back there. And in intercultural communication, I picked up this word called sensation seeking, adventure. Adventurous. Adventure. Are you with me? And so I have it in my heart. God's inviting us to consider the adventure of what it is that he's put us into today. What is Advent? Advent is actually about a sense of anticipating what it is that is about to happen. Anticipating what it is that's about to happen. So we're going to read a few scriptures, and I'm going to talk about how sensation seeking, and that phrase I learnt in my course, connects to our theme today. Whoopsie. Am I right, Richard? You happy with either one? Well, let's go this way. Thank you, Richard. Richard's resurrected a cordless mic, so we've really hit the highfalutin tech world of church life. So thanks, Richard. So beginning right now with an incredible scripture. You know, Advent, I've heard it said very very aptly that Advent should be about both remembering what has happened and anticipating what's going to happen. Remembering what has happened, anticipating what is going to happen. And here we sit in 2000 and, what year is it again? 2019, coming up 2020. And here we sit, and we are in the middle, suspended between a Jesus who came and a Jesus who's going to come again. Isn't that good news? We sang about that. Wasn't it great today when we sang how great thou art, and when he shall come, he's coming. And right now, Lucy, wonderful Lucy, is sitting with the Father, with Jesus, with all who are with him right now. But Jesus is coming, and he has come. And we sit in the middle of those two spaces. And that is the space, there's a little bit of tension and faith in that. But to go over what it would mean, to consider what is what was prophesied. You know, Advent is the colour. There are four candles. Some of you know this. I didn't know this until I looked it up. But there are four candles sometimes associated with celebrating Advent. And the first candle is a purple candle. It's the candle, actually, of prophecy. That's pretty cool. Prophecy's got a colour. I didn't know that. That's good news. Interesting. Colour purple. So the colour purple is the colour of anticipation. The colour purple captures those wonderful prophetic promises that are in the book of Isaiah, for example, in the Old Testament. Don't you love the scriptures that prophesy the coming Jesus? You know, for example, you know, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Isaiah 40, even I read this morning, it came up on our Bible app, and Isaiah 40 is just a colossus of a prophecy, and it's about the comfort of God's people, and that's the one I'm going to read to you. It actually says, prepare the way. See, can you hear the anticipation? Can you hear the get ready? That's what I feel in my spirit for the hive in that different sense that I shared, but prepare the way of the Lord. Verse 3, make straight in the desert, a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. Speaking of Jesus, the coming Messiah. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Isn't that incredible? When God speaks, it always comes to pass. The voice said, cry out. And he said, what will I cry? And on it goes. But today, we stand on this side of all those promises, and they've come to pass. I want to speak right now personally to anybody in the room who is still waiting for God to deliver on a promise. I want to speak to you about the certainty of God's promises. I want to connect to what Eve taught us a few weeks ago, that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. What does that mean? There is a testimony that every prophetic declaration concerning the Messiah came to pass. Amen. There is a testimony. There is a sure 100% guarantee for the nature of how promises actually work. And today, on this side of those promises, because Jesus came, it would be illogical today to anticipate the coming of Jesus as the baby in the manger, right? Because he has come. He has come. The word of the Lord has come to pass, and we sit on this side of the promise having been fulfilled. But we also sit in anticipation of Jesus coming, and in anticipation of Jesus coming, many of us today sit in promises that are yet to be fulfilled, and things that we believe the Lord has spoken to us. When God spoke to John, as John shared, thanks JL, and said, I want you in this area. I want you in Sydney. Many of you are sitting in front of promises that right now are not fulfilled. But what Advent, the spirit of Advent, is a spirit of hope. It's a purple prophecy colour. And the word of the Lord today is God will fulfil his promise because he's coming on a cloud. Don't you love Revelation 1:7? It is just a magnificent scripture. We've been worshiping our Jesus today, but we just need to read it because it just rings with triumph and certainty and conviction. And it's like, wow, that could happen next minute. Revelation 1, verse 7, it says, behold, he is coming on a cloud, and every eye will see him, and even those who have pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I read an interesting statistic that in the USA right now, there's over $1 trillion spent every year on adventure tourism. Did you know that? $1 trillion spent every year on people who are seeking sensation, people who are seeking adventure, people who are putting money out in anticipation of a venture to come. Do you get the adventure kind of context? People who are going abseiling, people who are doing dangerous things. I sat yesterday, Friday, next to someone who does free rock climbing. I salute them. That is not me. A lot of people spend a lot of money in adventure. I want to put to you today that following Jesus is the best adventure that we could ever have. I want to put to you today that to be a disciple of the living Jesus is actually a wonderful adventure. I want to put to you that adventure right now for me is anticipating all that God will do. I believe in the coming of Jesus. I believe he's going to restore things. I know that. But I believe that he wants to do things tomorrow and this coming week. And I'm anticipating in my spirit, the spirit of venture and adventure and of the Lord doing marvelous things. And because he is who he says he is. Romans 8, I love the Message Bible. It is a magnificent chapter. But in Romans 8, there is this word that talks like this. It says, what's next, Papa? What's next, Papa? I'm just going to read it off my phone because I've copied it onto here. What's next, Papa? I wonder whether when you woke up this morning, you had on your heart to the Father, what are you going to do today? What adventure do you have planned for me today? That is the spirit of Advent. Romans 8, this is what it says. It says, it's worth writing down this reference. I really encourage you to go over some of these scriptures. It says, the resurrection life that you received from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. Amen? It's not that. It is adventurously, there's the word, adventure. It is adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, what's next, Papa? God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we already are. And we know who He is, and we know that who we are is children to the Father. And we know that we're going to get what's coming to us, an unbelievable inheritance. What's next, Papa? When I think of adventure, I sometimes think of people like Sir Edmund Hillary. Do you relate to that? You know, the first man recorded to have climbed Mount Everest, and of course doing so with his faithful Sherpa, Tenzin Norgay, I think is the way that name is pronounced. But I'm aware, as people in this room today, that there's probably a range of different styles and personalities. Some of us are more, I just say loosely, some of us are more the adventure seekers, the people who will do the rock climbing, do the mountain climbing, do that stuff. Other people will be more kind of safe and want to be more risk averse, and that's okay. God's created us all differently. Other people will be skeptical and sort of hang back and suspicious. Others might be a sprinter, which sometimes is more my style. I can go early and go hard, but then run out of gas and not finish. I was the guy who who after about 2 weeks in primary school, like the beginning of my schooling career, I went to school, and Shumin knows my mum, knew my mum at the time, but I came home and said, Mum, I've been to school. I think I'll do something else now. I had no concept that school was like almost forever. But but today, maybe you are that type of person. Maybe you're a second guesser. Maybe you're an overthinker. But regardless of who you are and your style, your personality, I propose to you today, God is calling you to a greater measure of adventure. And I'm going to share four things that I believe speak to adventure. You know, the wise men, we're in that Christmas kind of season, aren't we? Matthew chapter 12, it says of the wise men that they sought him. They looked for him. They looked for him in the stars. I've got a few star pictures just to, because I was staggered to find, if you can just go to, I was staggered to find that there is an Advent calendar based upon the pictures from the Hubble telescope. I didn't know that. Isn't that staggering? The Hubble telescope, which I understand to be like probably the most powerful telescope that can capture the heavens and what's going on. But those wise men were men who sought after Jesus. They looked for the signs. They had an anticipation in their heart. They had an Advent spirit. Today, I believe God wants to stir up in us an Advent spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying? A spirit of anticipating what it is that God might do. A spirit that looks to the stars, looks to God's word, looks to what's going on around us, listens, watches, just like John did, get under a tree and talk. The next one is just profound, the spiral galaxy. It's got its own name, NGC 4911, and just one more. There's one for every day in Advent. Trumpler, who would have thought? But there it is, a star cluster. There is today something for us to receive in the Spirit, I believe, as to what it is that God is going to do. So to talk about those four things that help us to be adventurous. First of all, that we be seekers. Could we just go to the first slide? Next slide, please. To be seekers. I have at times hung around adventure-orientated people. And the thing is this, adventure for its own cause is okay. But true adventure seekers are seeking after God and His glory, not after their own glory, ultimately not after the adrenaline rush that comes with adventure. But the wise men are a pattern to us. It is a wise practice to seek after God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, you probably know the scripture, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I encourage us this morning, every one of us, to seek after Jesus. Not primarily to seek adventure. I believe just seeking after him, listening to him, getting to know his heart, listening to his voice, tuning in. If we simply follow him, the adventure will come. the sense of being led into things that are, according to the scriptures, beyond what we could ask, dream or think. It's a good thing to seek. The second thing I want to encourage us in is to stand. Because I think you know, for people like Edmund Hillary and many who were those people who climbed summits, maybe you know somebody who's been to Everest, it is not a picnic, right? I know John's been to base camp. To actually follow and climb a summit, whatever that summit might represent, but it is not a picnic. Think of the Apostle Paul, probably one of the most magnificent Jesus followers, adventure seekers, if you can go with my metaphor, that one who just took on a mission to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. It was not a picnic, but to know how to stand, to know how to continue, to know how to persevere, to know how to stay. Even within a church family like this, to choose and know what it is to stand and not to run, to stay and not to go. When the going gets tough, when something takes place that might upset you, or when a relationship might occur that just is a little bit kind of, or that kind of thing, it can easily. The opportunity always presents us to take an easier option. But the Lord is calling us, I believe, as we follow him, to know how to stand. It's a colossal scripture, Ephesians 6:13. I love how the New King James Version puts it, and it's descriptive of really the armour of God. It turns up in the teaching from Paul that is all about the armour. And in truth, when we feel like falling, or when we stumble, we're not fighting against flesh and blood. Amen. We're actually fighting against the enemy. But have a listen to how Paul writes this in Ephesians 6. He says, "For we do not wrestle," in verse 12, "against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." Verse 13, "Therefore, take up the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." I love that language. It's such a galvanizing truth for me. It just does something in my heart, that thought that there's times in our following Jesus and in the adventure that could be, and sometimes the hard bits of that adventure, there's times when we simply just stand where we are and we withstand and we push back to the enemy's forces. We take into our hearts the scriptures that the gates of hell would not prevail against us. We go with the promises Jesus has given us, that we actually are able to bind and to loose, and we know how it is to exercise our authority in Christ in spiritual warfare. Do you know how to do that? Do you know how to do that? It's something I would encourage us in as we get into 2020, to understand the authority we have in Christ to actually wrestle and to withstand and to stand. And to stand with others when they are withstanding. That's what being a body is like, right? So to stand. I encourage us to be those who stand. And thirdly, I encourage us in our serving. This is who Jesus is. Everything that is about following Jesus as we have the spirit of Advent is about being like he is. And Philippians chapter 2 is really that kind of gold standard passage that is descriptive of Jesus and his pathway, his adventure pathway that he took in pursuing the calling that he had been given by the Father. And it says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 7, I feel like it's a bit crackly. Philippians 2, verse 7. Thank you, Richard. It says about Jesus that he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and he became obedient to the path of Jesus, even the death of the cross. And I guess we need to not glamorize adventure with Jesus, not glamorize what it is to follow, not romanticize it, because there are times, isn't it true, where following him calls for many things that are difficult. Sometimes following him is actually calling us into suffering with him. That's a scriptural thing. Sometimes following him causes us to bear burdens that can almost crush us at times. Sometimes following him causes us to be in that space where we're trusting for a thing that has not yet happened and we feel buried by the weight of a circumstance or a problem. Following him is all of those things. But I believe there is a grace from Jesus through the Spirit we can receive by faith to keep a soft heart and keep a servant heart. What a wonderful thing that I believe God is bringing into our church family. I see it every time we're together. Wonderful servant-hearted giving. People who give, even though in their own world there's things going on that are excruciating, they keep serving. Only the grace of God can do that. And I want to worship God because he's doing that in this space. I love him for his work in each of you. But serving is actually a way to for that spirit of adventure to remain in us. And then fourthly, my final point is single-mindedness. Single-mindedness. Jesus describes in Luke chapter 9 a challenging scripture, honestly, for the realities of what life is. But it's this language of not taking our hand off the plough. Now, you probably haven't seen me with an ox lately. I don't think you're likely to. But you understand the metaphor Jesus is using here. He's referring to farming. He's referring to ploughing ground. And in Luke 9 and verse 62... this is one of the teachings of Jesus as to what it means to follow and keep following and keep serving and keep standing. And he said, in verse 62, Jesus said, "No one, having put his hand to the plough and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." I just feel in my heart that there is a call to single-mindedness for all of us this morning. All of us have been in different ways following Jesus. Some of you maybe quite freshly, others of you for several years. But, you know, the enemy wants us to turn back, to look behind, to do what Lot did, to look at where we've come from, to look behind, look over our shoulder. The enemy wants us to consider the cost and think it might be too much. But Jesus says, no, be single-minded. Be like me, looking at the goal set before Jesus. He did not turn back. So I encourage us in single-mindedness this morning. There's one more story I want to share with you before we close. And that's good. We're going well for time. It's a cool story. It's the story of an adventurer who I haven't heard of till I actually found this account in my research. But there are many, many adventurers in history who actually, this will not surprise you at all, who weren't the Edmund Hillary male stereotypes of adventurers. They were magnificent women who were pursuing adventure. I love this story because it's one I had not heard of. There's a story of someone called Nellie Bly who lived between 1864 and 1922. And Nellie Bly she was actually a journalist, and she had come across the story of, which is fictitious, I think, Around the World in 80 Days. Have you ever heard that? The story of written by Jules Verne. And Jules Verne created this story of a traveller who in the depiction of the story, goes around the world and it takes 80 days. So Nellie Bly went to her boss, her editor in the newspaper, and he said, "I've got an idea." This was in New York City. Nellie Bly said, "What about if I was to set out on an around-the-world adventure and try to beat that record of 80 days, given that it actually was a fictitious record, you understand?" And the boss said to her, "Nellie, You can't do that because you're a woman. She said, I love this. This is the withstanding attitude. She said, well, if you don't let me do it, I'm going to take this story proposal to another newspaper and I'll do it with them. He said, yes. Within 2 days, she was gone. And she went around the world in 72 days. All she had was one bag only. Traveled light and off she went. And she is remembered as one of those people who had a spirit of adventure, and she was able to completely defeat that record with simply just the clothes on her back. And this morning, the reason I share that story is this, because how Jesus calls you to follow him will look different in some respects to how he calls me. Do you understand what I'm saying? All of us have an individual shape and style and story and history and gifts and backgrounds and backgrounds that are, in some cases, multicultural backgrounds. All of us are unique. And there's a different thing God will ask of you to do. And I love watching how God is challenging and touching many in this room, because I believe in 2020 we're going to see some Nellie Bly's do some things. I believe in 2020 we're going to see some Sir Edmund Hillary's climb some summits. I believe that Jesus is going to put on your heart and my heart and the person next to you some dreams and visions that will involve being that person who goes after adventure, who keeps serving, keeps standing, keeps seeking. You with me? Keeps on. What did I leave out? Single-minded. Thank you. And so we're going to close by simply singing a well-known chorus. I have decided to follow Jesus. And sometimes we sing this chorus because maybe you have sung it. Even maybe it was the song that you sang when you gave your heart to Jesus the first time, and that is magnificent. But you know, don't you, that following Jesus is not a decision that we made once upon a time. Following Jesus is a decision that we keep making. We make it when we go home. We make it when we get up. And following Jesus is a decision. I'm going to be your disciple. I'm going to pursue everything that you ask me to do. And open up my heart. I'm going to seek after you. I'm going to serve. I'm going to stand. And I'm going to be single-minded. So can we stand? And as we sing, I'm expecting that the Holy Spirit will just drop into your heart, perhaps something that will be reassurance, something that will maybe even stir up a Nellie Bly in you. I don't know what it is, but we trust you, don't we? Don't we, family? We trust you, Holy Spirit, to take this word and this day of Advent and to stir up hope and anticipation and expectancy in every single person. We want to follow you, Jesus, for you and for the glory of your Father. We don't want to follow for our own glory. We want to have a grace to forsake that. And we just want to begin to imagine freshly as we come towards 2020, the adventure that you're calling us all on. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.